Trying to get it so you can see. Can you see my presentation?
There you go.
You can see that, Tom?
Yep.
Everybody. So thank you. So I'm here to request funding for the Hudson Housing Fund. So this is going to be a little different from some of the other departments. This is a new fund and not, something existing. So just to walk you through, I'll just give a brief background on what this is and where the housing fund is at in terms of the proposal. I'll give you my budget request. And since I don't have like past years of the budget, I'll show you an example of how the grant is currently being used and a forecast of possible future expenditures. And then I'll kind of walk through why I'm requesting the funds I'm requesting. So as you all know, that I'm hired under the Anti-Displacement Grant from Enterprise Community Partners and the Attorney General's Office. So the grant was $1 million total. About 600,000 of that is allocated for to start a housing trust fund, which we're calling the Hudson Housing Fund. And the Common Council last year passed a resolution in order to create this fund. And so what's important to note is that the $600,000 is not meant to be just a one-time grant payment. It's meant to be seeding a fund that is going to be a renewable and predictable source of money. And so what that Hudson Housing Fund would do, it would create and preserve affordable housing by primarily staffing capacity, which is my role, which we've had all these great housing plans, the SHAP in 2018, about to have a new one in 2021. We have our old comp plan, and a lot of the issue in really manifesting a lot of the details of those plans is staffing. And so a big piece of this housing fund would be to be staffing, my role, to carry out these plans. Then the other function of this housing fund would be to leveraging other funds of capital and grants that would have, such as tax credit programs, private grants, CDFI funds, CDBG, et cetera. And then finally, to also provide direct assistance for gap funding for other organizations. So for example, if we had the Hudson Roots program, which is a limited time program, but it's an example of what it could do in the future. So that's what the Hudson Housing Fund is. So where we're at in terms of its existence. So right now, I'm submitting proposals to Enterprise to get approval for our fund in order to secure this seed funding. Part of our proposals, they want to see that the city plans to invest predictable future revenue. They want to know that it's not just their seed fund, but that there will also be future revenue for this housing fund. Once I have that proposal approved, then we'll be doing more public and stakeholder engagement in the later fall to see how people want this fund to be used and how they want to be governed. And then in the winter, we'll be sort of setting up a board of trustees to monitor that fund and to make decisions on its use. So that board of trustees is going to be composed of people from who are residents of affordable housing, so they have expertise in what they want to live, where they want to live, but also people with expertise in real estate development, social services, et cetera, to help make really collaborative decisions on how to use these funds. By spring of 2022, we should have this board of trustees fully trained and on board. March is when we receive the seed funds from Enterprise, so 566,000 of seed funds would come in March. And then the board of trustees can begin selecting projects to deploy the funds. So that's kind of background what the fund is and where it's at. So what I'm requesting for fiscal year 2022 would be 10% of ARPA funds and 50% of the lodging tax revenue, which comes to roughly 200,000. And I'll show what that would be used for and then why I chose those two funding sources. So again, we don't have like a past year of expenditures, and this is a new thing. So what I'm showing you is an example of one quarter of the anti-displacement grant, just so you get a sense of some of the uses. So the biggest expenditure was the Hudson Roots program, my salary, and then other staffing costs. So let's assume this is an example of one quarter, then you get to $264,000 as an annual cost. And so just to be, again, say like, this would not be what the cost would be in the coming year. This is an example of the way it was used this year under the grant. And so thinking about the future, so this table is showing, I'm having trouble with the slide. Okay. So this table is showing the funds that are earmarked from the enterprise grant. So that's the ADLN funds. They're earmarked through 2025. And so I want you to know this is calendar year funds, not fiscal year. And so the top line would be for the housing justice director, the salary plus the fringe benefits. This is set in the enterprise grant. So they have the funds decreasing through 2025. I'll just note the reason why 2022 is a little bit less is because some of the funds for 2022 come not from the seed funding, but from the grant, like, because $600,000 is allocated for the trust fund. The other $400,000 is like 1 year of the grant. And since they started a little late in 2021, some of that goes over to 2022. So that's just why this number is a little bit less, because it's coming from other earmarked funds. But basically this line is showing that the salary for the housing justice director role decreases over the next 4 years as the amount from enterprise decreases. And so you'd be looking for new city funds to supplement that. These other lines are not, these are just hypotheticals, projects that the Board of Trustees could select for the Housing Trust Fund. So these are not set in stone, but there's examples of, we could use money to do pre-development costs for new rental or construction units. It could be emergency rental and mortgage assistance. It could be homeownership programs. So these are just example programs showing that there is some earmarked funds from enterprise for these programs that will decrease. And so as you get to 2024, 2025, you're going to want to have the public funds increase. And so at the bottom row, you're showing how the total expenditures you're looking to be a little bit over 200,000, and that mix of enterprise funds to city funds is going to increase over time. And so the point of this is to show that, yes, there is seed funding, but in order to, you need to have reliable and consistent funding. We know that we have it now in order to have success in the future. Because enterprise, first of all, doesn't want to give us the seed funds unless they know that we're committing to really funding this in the future. But then also, we need to know now if we're going to have future projects, like future funds, so that when we're trying to deploy the funds in 2022, we know that they exist in 2023, for example. And then also to attract other sources of capital, you want to make sure that they want to, if we're applying for grants, like that'll help us apply for other grants. We're showing that we're have, you know, the capacity to administer these grants and these projects is going to help us open more doors for funding. And then also you just want to have some reserves for projects, because, you know, things always come up that are unexpected. We all know that costs of development are increasing. And so just having a little extra cushion is helpful in getting things done. And so I just want to show real quick that some examples from other cities about how much other cities put into their housing trust funds. It's not always a direct relationship between the population and the funding size. It's really about the commitment that cities want to make. So Provincetown, Massachusetts is about half our size and population, but they're putting in, it changes based on the different revenue they get, but between 120 and 250,000 a year. So you're looking at a revenue per capita that's 60. Some other cities, so like Montpelier, Vermont, they're about similar size, a little bit bigger. They're putting in 185,000. This is just public dedicated revenue. It's not grant funding. Grant funding is additional to this. And so seeing how some of these smaller cities are putting in larger funds, and some other big cities also put in big ones, something small, but the research I've seen is that the cities that are putting in larger amounts and that's dedicated and predictable, they're able to leverage that much more than some cities that have like one lump sum. They're able to help one small project doesn't go very far. So for example, Burlington has had a housing trust fund since the 80s, and they've just really done incredible stuff with that money. So this is their budget from 2021. Their total funds came to $250,000. The way they used that was a large amount was for project grants. So they had seven project grants where they've put in like $40,000 here, $30,000 here, and it helped these projects. So for example, they did new rental unit construction or construction of temporary housing shelters. What it could do was that it gave a little bit of soft cost funds so that before developers were able to get the big equity or capital underwriting, they had the funds to pay some of their staffing to do the groundwork or cover those soft costs in order to get the project rolling, get them started. So little bits of money can really go a long way in those projects. They put $80,000 into capacity grants. So they help support their local nonprofits that are on the ground, helping unhoused people, helping with vulnerable residents. So where nonprofits need a little more help in boosting their staffing or specific projects they can do in the city, be able to help them out. And then their staffing, they just helped give some funds to the community development officials in the city government to staff that. So that's just one example of how much can be done with that amount of money. And then also is kind of showing where I came up for that number of 200,000, as well as looking back to what those gaps are and what we're looking at here. So then just to kind of get to why I asked for ARPA and for the lodging tax. So reading through ARPA, it says like very explicitly in the guidelines that this is like housing fund is a eligible source for ARPA with the understanding that especially in communities of low-income residents, which, you know, qualified census areas, which Hudson is, that the COVID pandemic really affected housing costs, both in A, increasing the rent and the housing costs, and then also B, decreasing the incomes of folks. So you have this like big gap between what people were making and what costs are. And so that's why housing funds are eligible. And so other cities are using ARPA for housing trust funds, and not just for existing ones, but to create new ones. So Buffalo, for example, is putting in $12 million to start a new housing trust fund. Syracuse is using $31 million for their housing needs. And I put the example of the Lowcountry City of South Carolina because they're similar to us in being very small and being tourist-driven economies and being a little cities isolated by rural areas. And so most of those cities are all dedicating 3% of their ARPA together, along with the county ARPA and then some state funds to create a new housing trust fund. And you're looking at about almost 200,000 from Hilton Head Island, which is a little bit bigger than us. So that's where that 10% request came from. And then the lodging tax, just looking at the anticipated revenue from the city budget, is $300,000 for this coming year. So asking for half of that to be received at the end of the fiscal year. And so the thought there is that the lodging, you know, the tourism industry has, you know, incredible benefits for Hudson, has brought so much business, but also has, you know, decreased some of the housing availability and increased some of the prices. And so it does have a direct effect on affordable housing. And so one way to kind of mitigate some externality is to allocate some of that funds to the housing trust fund. And so this is not affecting the Hudson, you know, taxpayers. This is affecting, this is coming from tourists. And so that would be a way to help boost the housing crisis, or help decrease the housing crisis, boost our efforts to fight it. And just one thing to note is that I chose these two because they are funds that are available now. But looking ahead, there are other funds that could see or that could be given to the trust fund in the future. So possibly looking at cannabis sales or dispensaries, if there was able to increase in the lodging tax, like a property transfer and mortgage tax, be it in lieu fees or also future investments. These are like looking a couple years down the road to see if those funds actually happen. So in the meantime, we want to know that there's going to be funding in 2022 and 2023 for the trust fund so that we can actually go after these projects and start getting things really done. So that is the presentation. And let me know any questions you have.
Thanks. I'll open it up now to VA members.
Okay, my first question is, you talked about the seed funds. That's separate from the 1 million?
No. So 1 million is the total grant.
Okay.
About 400,000 of it is being used 2021 for my salary, Hudson Roots, all those activities, and the other 600,000 would then go is the seed fund.
To the trust fund.
Yeah. What's just a little confusing is because it doesn't perfectly line up with the calendar year because the grant fund didn't really come until the spring of 2021. It's kind of pushed a little bit.
So, I'm confused about how we kind of commit funds before we know what it's actually going to do.
Sure. So, the proposal for the trust fund has a list of eligible uses. So, for example, creation of new rental units that are limited to income restricted for rental assistance programs. It could be rehabilitation programs. So we know the eligible uses are, but then it's going to be up to the Board of Trustees to have the final say
right.
And what the projects actually are. And the way that would look every year is that the board, and most likely this will be governed under HCDPI, as the oversight agency, would select the goals. So maybe, in 2022, the goals are really about construction of new rental units, but in 2026, it might be a home ownership program. So we'll create the goals, but then the Board of Trustees will open it up for, applications for the projects, and then they'll select the final projects. So we know the parameters, we just don't know the specific vehicle of what they'd use for.
If I could just add.
Whoa.
There's no comment, Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my apologies.
I
think for us as a board, our starting point should be covering the 25% of staff salary that's not being covered by the grant.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should at least retain the staff first. So that we can formulate the rest of these plans. So my proposal would be, there's 13,750 in salary and then another 8,600 in staff fringe costs, bringing the total to 22,350.
I have a problem with, designate, as I've said numerous times in the past, designating any tax specifically to one purpose because the money, the general fund is fungible. I mean, it's.
This is, I'm talking about the city.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm not responding to you, Kamal.
Okay.
I'm talking in general about, I'm sorry, I thought you were done with that. Sorry.
No, I was wondering if there was discussion on that so we can get that part.
That seems totally fine. Heather?
I agree. Michelle, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
I'm just curious on your peer examples.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the income per capita is on in those municipalities? And do you know whether or not those municipalities are running surpluses or breaking even on their annual budgets?
So income per capita, I don't know exactly. I can tell you that in terms of peers, like Hilton Head Island is kind of similar to us. And then also Pittsburgh is a much larger city. But in terms of how they get broken down demographically, it's actually pretty similar too. And then in terms of The second question you asked, no, I don't have that information.
Well, I've looked at Burlington. Of course, Burlington, who was that? Burlington, as you said, goes back to the 80s, and it was Bernie Sanders who heroically created this whole program there. It does have a similar profile in some ways to Hudson. And I think the key was that it would not break their bank in any sense. That's why he was successful as mayor. But moving along, the notion that the point I was trying to make earlier before about designating certain taxes. I mean, we already got into that trouble designating the lodging tax to tourism or part of it. I don't think we should lock the hands of the council when it deals with finance in that regard. I mean, I'm open to a counter argument, but I think like anything, it needs to be dealt with annually in the budget process. I'm just saying that. I mean, no one's responding. And the next question I had is where you talked about new funds and grant management. I guess the problem I have is what kind of, you said that they're looking for city commitment. In other examples, do they make it clear what kind of commitments the city's supposed to make? The percentage, the amount?
Haven't made it clear in terms of an amount. I think they want to see something that is going to be able to definitely like continue what we've doing, so such as covering my salary and some of the programs we've started, but then also enough money to actually do new things. And so looking to not just pay for my salary, and then I'll
spend
money.
Yeah, I get it. And you said the seed money is based on our commitment? I mean, they won't release it until we make some sort of commitment?
It's part of the proposal is, like, I have to show to them that the city is serious about this and that we are, pursuing these revenue sources.
Got it.
Would pursuing revenue sources be considered, would the active applications for a variety of grants be considered evidence of us pursuing revenue sources, as opposed to, say, the city coming directly out of pocket?
So I think the short answer is no, because what the housing trust fund is supposed to be, like, reliable. And that's also why places like Burlington have been successful, is because they know I'm going to have X amount in 2025. And so I can release notice of funding available in 2024 for these projects, and we can budget these projects. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts has had a lot of grant-based housing trust funds, and their work has been like super choppy, where in 2018, they can get out, X amount of money to help this one project, and then nothing happens for 5 or 6 years, and they're chasing funds, and they're chasing grants. And so I think that the other grants are great to multiply the impact of the work, but they're not enough to provide like a reliable and consistent funding that allows us to have predictable projects.
And I just wanted to know, one of the reasons I was asking about the income per capita and whether or not they're running surpluses is that for the past few years, the city of Hudson has been running a deficit. So it makes it very difficult to come up with new sources of revenue for new unanticipated expenditures when we're not currently covering our annual expenditures. So I think that's why, at least I am trying to probe in terms of where there might be opportunities to provide funding that isn't necessarily taxpayer base, because you can say that taking it from the lodging tax doesn't impact taxpayers, but it does to the extent that if we need that money to balance our budget and we take it out of our operating budget, that money's going to have to come from somewhere to balance the budget, and most likely that's going to be the taxpayers. So I'm just trying to brainstorm in terms of other you know, other possibilities. That's all.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's hard. Excuse me. With both of the budgets we're looking at today, we're creating new lines. So, you know, it puts quite a burden on the BEA.
We want to, I guess, come back to this in the next round. It'll give us a chance to look at other options.
It was a great presentation, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But we did confirm the 22,000.
Agreed. Right. Yes, I think, you know, once we've had a chance to go through sort of all the expenditures and our initial revenue projections, and we see where we net out, then I think we'll have a much better understanding for as Tom said, for both of these new expenditure requests.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Thank you, Michelle. We'll be in touch with another date.
Thank you.
For those who are new to this process, it's just the first round. We actually go through 3 or 4. I don't even...
Not usually with the department heads, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. The first round, this usually includes the department heads and their pitch, and then the next two are the BEA members kind of ironing out details, final budgets. All right. Do we want to move on to tourism? Is that what's next?
If they're here.
Yes.
All right. Who is representing?
That's a good question.
I believe Ryan Wallace is going to be presenting as the head of the tourism board.
That's what I thought.
For the chair, sorry. And he does not appear to be here yet.
Were they given a select time on the original that we sent out?
I'm going to text him.
Yeah, it was at 3:30.
Okay, Ryan's on a work call, so he'll join as soon as he can. So maybe we'll just take a little break here.
Yeah, should we break till 3:30?
Sure.
You muted yourself, Tom, so I don't know if that was a sure. I tried to read your lips.
Sure.
Okay. Tom, can we use the same meeting ID again at 3:30?
Well, we could just keep this open, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't end this meeting. I'll just be here. Be ready.
All eyes on you, Tom.
Not anymore. Not anymore.